Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website. Now, John, we were chatting off mic and you made the comment that you were talking to a home builder, someone who you're close to, and you have some insights on the housing sector. Now, there's been no doubt that the housing sector really was booming throughout COVID, ever since COVID, shut down everything. And we've also seen underlying costs for building materials also skyrocket. John, what was this conversation regarding the housing sector? What did you take away from it?
Hey, Corey. The housing sector has gone back to being a bubble here. And there's no, I don't even understand to this day why that happened during a pandemic. You know, you would think recessions are always a bad time for real estate, but this was the best time ever for U.S. houses. So that's inexplicable still to this day to me. But
hold on, let's jump off on that because... Yeah. Well, some of the reasons that we're hearing is A, people were getting money essentially given to them, and some people were still working, and people weren't allowed to travel. So they did focus a lot more on where they were living, how they were living, and that's where the money was being spent.
Yeah, yes, but when you leave a place to buy or build another place, you have to sell that place. So you would think that there would be an equal amount of buying and selling in that kind of a world, right? Where everybody says, okay, I need a bigger house. Well, they got to sell their smaller house, but nobody seems to be doing that because the supply of homes for sale are, you know, at record low levels in some places. And that's why prices are going up, apparently. I don't know. I haven't seen an explanation that makes a lot of sense to me for us having a housing bubble. I mean, other than just an insane amount of hot money sloshing around in the system, and houses happen to be one of the things like Bitcoin and NFTs that people are focusing on. But yeah, I mean, there has to be a reason for it. I just don't understand any of the reasons, really. So, which is kind of par for the course. So much in a hyperinflating world like this, so many inexplicable things happen. But anyhow, suffice it to say, home prices are soaring in the U.S. and I assume in Canada too. And it's happening at the same time that the cost of inputs for houses is going through the roof. Although lumber has corrected a little bit lately, but it's still way up. So it costs a lot more to build a house now than it used to. So, and my wife is building a house. So the other day her builder came over and he and I had a long talk about, you know, what his life is like in this kind of a market. And, 6 months or a year ago, he was swamped. He had more people coming wanting to build houses than he could handle, but they were taking on a lot of that work and they were, you know, hiring new crews, and they themselves, even the guys in charge, were out there hammering nails and putting up drywall. They were just working as fast and as hard as they could. But lately, in just the last couple of months, half his projects have either canceled outright or gone on hold because the cost increases have become unmanageable for a lot of customers. In other words, he's had to say, well, you know, that the framing that we said would be 47,000 is now 62,000. Sorry about that. You know, and so people were bumping up against their budgets and exceeding their budgets and having just to stop the building process. So he's now down to half his year ago number of projects, but he's working just as hard because his job now consists of calculating the cost overruns from all these raw materials going up, and then going back and sitting down with his customers and saying, you know, sorry, this is going to cost way more and this appliance isn't available anymore, and on. So he hates his job right now. But this is also an indicator that the real estate market might be bumping up against its limits of affordability. You know, prices have just zoomed out of the range of a lot of people to buy them now, and that's usually a sign that the building and housing cycle is coming to an end, because once the average person can't afford the average house anymore, you run out of buyers. So it seems like, at least what the builder was telling me that I talked to, is that we're getting to that place again, both because of higher prices and because of rising costs of building materials. So this week, I'm going to short a bunch of the home builder stocks because of that. So we'll see how it plays out. But it does seem like housing is kind of towards the end of its run in this cycle.
Well, John, one question that comes to mind for me then is if we keep seeing, you know, inflationary pressures and lumber and the input costs of house going up, and people are literally being priced out of building their new homes, and that's also creating a big secondary market for used homes, which is forcing those prices up. What would happen with the backdrop we have economically if rates do go up and if inflation keeps going up and interest rates go up? What will that do to the home prices across the board if we see an increase in rates while there's an increase in inflation? Typically, we see a decrease in home prices if rates go up. So where are we at in this kind of environment?
Well, that would increase the effective cost of a house on top of all the other stuff that's going on, right? So, but it's not clear houses can go up any more from here. So if interest rates went up, in other words, if mortgages got more expensive, which makes houses more expensive effectively because your monthly payments go up, then all these people who, the people who can't afford a house today, it wouldn't matter because they can't afford a house no matter what. But all the people at the margin who can kind of sort of buy the house they want if they take out a 30-year mortgage and put down as little as possible, those guys would possibly be priced out if the cost of a mortgage went up. And that's what I always thought would blow up the housing bubble is that, interest rates will go up. That's easy enough. Mortgages go from 2.5% for a 30-year fixed to 3.5%. And then, boom, the cost of your house goes up by 15 or 20%. And if you could afford it barely last week, you can't afford it anymore this week, you don't buy it, housing just kind of stops in its tracks. That would be the normal way for this thing to end. But it could be that it's ending before that because of raw material costs soaring. You know, we'll have to see. One way or another, it ends because we're up into unaffordability range. You know, we're up to the place where house prices no longer relate in a common sense way to incomes. So one way or another, this stops, and we'll see why. But the question then becomes, what does it do to the rest of the economy? Because housing is a big part of the economy. And if it, with all its employment and all the subsidiary things that draw from housing, like furniture makers and the guys who do flooring and stuff like that, you know, all of those guys, those are separate companies from home builders. But they all feed off of this massive housing gravy train that we've had going so far. So the reverberations from a slowdown or a reversal in housing would be huge. It would be hard for the economy to keep growing if that happened.
Yeah, John, the whole housing discussion to me really rings close to home because, in all fairness, Vancouver, all we hear about for the last decade plus is unaffordability, right? And it's only gotten more unaffordable. So yeah, the big question of when that'll end, who knows? But broadly, that's also important to consider. You want to jump in here, John?
Well, just at Vancouver, you know, you guys have a separate issue, which is outside money pouring in. So it really doesn't matter if you as a local can afford a condo near the ocean in Vancouver. There are 25 Chinese people who are more than willing to buy that thing for cash sight unseen, you know? So you have a separate thing going on that you're in a city that half the world wants to move to.
Yes, that I agree with. I do caution of using the whole outside capital is coming in as the main driver because, just hearing from especially where I live and some of my friends that are retailers, there's a lot of domestic demand too. So something to consider. It's just demand coming from all angles and not just international, especially Asian or Chinese buyers coming in here. John, let's also talk about inflation, though, because this all does kind of tie to inflation. It's on everyone's radar, and everyone still has the debate of whether this is transitory or not. And quite frankly, no one knows until, we're a year or two down the road. What other inflation data or inflation metrics do you think are crucial to consider here for investors looking forward?
Well, I just posted some really weird charts on dollarcollapse.com. And one of them is the Goldman Sachs U.S. Financial Conditions Index, which is a measure of how easy money is in the U.S. right now. It's the easiest it's ever been. Remember, this is while inflation is spiking above the Fed's target rate. So money is incredibly easy while inflation is going up. And then at the same time, which kind of explains part of the economy not just exploding right now, the velocity of money is the lowest it's ever been. So, you know, explain that however you want to. I don't know how to explain this either. I don't know how to explain anything anymore, it seems like. But a lot of, you know, what we're talking about, easy money in this world with low interest rates, is starting to feed into inflation in things besides stocks, bonds, and real estate, because that's where inflation has usually manifested in the last 10 or 20 years, which means it wasn't part of the consumer price index, which means the Fed was allowed to lie about inflation and say, hey, it's still well behaved, you know, even though stocks were soaring and bonds were soaring. But it's starting to creep out of that now. And one chart, you know, if you look at any chart about inflation, the one that I think is most illuminating is the used vehicle index. In other words, the price of used cars has gone parabolic in 2021. And it looks like a chart of Bitcoin prior to its last crash. You know, it's just straight up. And why is that? I don't know. Why is everybody buying used cars out there right now? It's not like more people are commuting to work than did before the pandemic, because we know that's not true. So I don't know about this either, but the money is pouring into used cars. The prices are spiking. So inflation is out there, and it's spreading beyond the places where it used to hide. And if it affects enough people in their daily lives, then regular people who don't obsess about this stuff all day long will come to the conclusion that we're in an inflationary world again, and their behavior will change. You know, they'll start doing things in anticipation of their money in their pocket or their future paychecks becoming less and less valuable. And then we're back in the 1970s, which is the most recent time that something like that happened. And, you know, I know you guys are way too young to remember the 1970s. But I kind of remember them, and they were crazy. You know, people were panicked by the fact that inflation was 10 or 12%, you know, and if we were using the same inflation measure as we did back then, that's what inflation would be now. You know, we would have 10 or 15% inflation in the US. And nobody gets that yet. But if a lot of things that regular people start buying start behaving like used cars, then all of a sudden, everybody will conclude that we are in an inflationary world. And things will get a lot crazier than they are now, if you can imagine crazier than today.
All right. And John, hard to imagine crazier than the last year we just went through. Yeah. So hopefully not crazy in that way. But you know what? We are in summer, it feels like, for these markets. So let's see if any of the near-term data has any impact or draws some more investors in or out of these markets. But either way, a lot of people watching inflation. It's here. How long will it be here for? John, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your week. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Okay, thanks, Corey. Thanks, Chad.